extra little tidbits. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another Tuesday Tips.
Starting off strong as usual.
Brought to you by Hot Lift Eat Official. This is the last podcast I will do here with this background in this house.
You're going to have like a full studio now.
Yeah. My shout out to Jacob Coons, because he built me a table and it is shipped and it's on the way to my house. I'm going to have a custom live edge, some kind of cool wood podcast table for my studio. And then I'm going to have the same pictures that you got over your shoulder. And I'm going to have a Chris Bianco mule deer. We'll be in business.
Hell yeah. Yeah, when we move, I'm going to have a nice backdrop as well. So it'll look better than just two pictures. But yeah, tips. I haven't done a tips in a fucking minute. Been a long time.
Tips. Flying with meat. Reoccurring theme. People do it every year, and we talk about it all the time, but let's do it again.
Yeah, we did it just about this time last year, but a lot of people have been asking about it on the team, in the chats, on the app. People are like, how do you fly with meat? Especially since we've been doing some hunts recently with the team, which has been cool, but folks have been wondering how to transport it. And Carter has a lot of experience with this. I have, at this point, a significant amount, and I've paid all the stupid tax you can pay through mistakes with the airlines. I think my first time flying for a hunt, I paid like $250 in heavy bag fees. So the key is, one, to know the regulations of who you're flying with as far as weights. So in whether you're military or not military, military gets some benefits, you know, two free bags with most airlines, and then up to 70 pounds. Most heavy bags, I think, is 50. So just know specifically the airline, because that's going to be variable. What's not variable is, can you fly with meat? And the answer is yes. But you need to be really deliberate in how it's packaged. It can't leak. If the cooler leaks at all, it'll get thrown away. And then, you know, on the weight management piece, really looking at the weight of the empty cooler. So I prefer soft coolers. Carter, I think you would agree with that.
Yeah, Ozark soft coolers, Walmart.
I think they're doing away with them. I tried to find one for Heather at this last hunt. We couldn't find them. So Arctic, Yeti, I think a lot of the cooler companies make soft coolers. You don't want to get like the shitty, you know, what your mom threw Cokes in to go to the ballpark. Like, you want like the thick soft coolers that'll actually hold some ice. I've got two old Ozarks that I don't think they make anymore. What I really like about them, though, is the smaller one will fit inside of the bigger one, so that's one less bag when I'm flying out to a hunt. So if you can figure out something like that where you can fold them up, stack them together, that's a way to save on baggage fees. And then a luggage scale is really important. You can fly Arctic makes a lightweight cooler. I think Rugged Ridge, is that the Rugged Road, Rugged Ridge, something like that, makes a really lightweight, and those are hard coolers. But just look at the weight of the cooler versus the weight of, you know, the meat you're bringing back. One time I flew with a Yeti, it's like a Yeti 105, and it was this massive cooler, and because of the weight of it, I was only able to put like 15 pounds of meat in it. So it was real dumb. I learned that one the hard way as well. So weight management's key. And then ice. So if you're going to fly with dry ice, it's got to be vented. I've never flown with dry ice. I've never needed to. Dry ice comes in handy, I think, if you want to get a hard freeze and you don't have any other ability. Carter, you've got more experience with dry ice, if you want to jump in.
Yeah, after reading the regulations, it made me too nervous to fly with it, because, again, they can just pull it and get rid of it if they don't like it. So we would buy dry ice. It's cheap enough to buy at Walmart or whatever, wherever you are, and we would use that to get a hard freeze. We'd put it on top of our meat in the cooler overnight, the night before we're flying out. And then in the morning, we would get rid of it. So that's where we would use the dry ice. The other thing, you know, weight management, but also leak management. I always get a contractor bag and use that as an extra layer. I line the inside of the cooler with the contractor bag. Meat goes inside that and whatever apparatus. And I tie that to make sure no leakage.
Yeah, I do the same thing. So I always line the cooler with a contractor bag, and then I will put the meat in if it's like if I've boned it out, which I typically will do unless I know I'm gonna be able to be fine on weight depending on how many bags I have. Boning it out makes a lot of sense. But like this last pig hunt, actually no, John took it back, he drove it, but I would have flown with it. It was in quarters, and so what I'll do with the quarters, so I'll use gallon freezer bags for the boned out meat, and then they're sealed, and then get the hard freeze, and then also I like it, get the air out best you can. It's good in the freezer for a month or two before you actually process it. And then I'll just come home, throw it in the freezer, because usually I'm either going, it was going back to work with the Army, or I got another trip coming up. So it's, you know, it's always not convenient to get back from a trip and then immediately start processing. So, but what I'll do is I'll take whole quarters and saran wrap them. You got to use a lot of saran wrap because you got to watch leaks, and then bones will poke through them. But I'll just coat them in saran wrap and then just freeze them whole like that. Whenever I get around to processing them, I'll thaw them out, take it off, and then you get your meat ready to go. I've never seen a difference between freezing them on the bone and then thawing them and then butchering them and freezing them again. I don't think, if anything, it ages the meat. So I actually think it's a pretty decent little TTP there. But yeah, just it's really easy to fly. You can actually carry on meat as well. That's another way. So being smart, like overall with your packing for your hunt, like if you're checking a bow or a gun, right? We've talked about this in the past. It's like stacking as much shit into the gun case as well. So I'll fly with a 2-gun case, even if I'm only going with one rifle, because then I can fit like my optics, my ear pro, ammunition, knives, all that extra stuff. I get it right at whatever the weight threshold is. Like Carter will tell you, I get like a pound or a half a pound. I usually go a pound because sometimes my handheld scales and the scales at the airport are different. I think they're cooking the scales a bit, but stack that as much as possible. So that's one. And then if you're going to have the second check bag, that can be the bigger cooler. And then your second carry-on bag can be your small cooler within whatever your backpack is. And you can fit a pretty big like hunting backpack in as a carry-on. So to have all your clothes, your rain gear, all that stuff in there, and then have your other cooler as your carry-on, which is good because it doesn't matter how much it weighs. I mean, it sucks to carry it through the airport, but it's better than paying another, you know, $80 or whatever it is for a bag. So between those two coolers, you can get 100, 150 pounds of meat. I've put multiple pigs, multiple deer in those two coolers. I don't remember their sizing, but they're like the bigger ones, like this standard, decent-sized soft cooler that everybody has. I think it's like a 40 or a 35 or something like that, and the other one's like a small, like 20, and you can fit a stack of meat, and it's way, way cheaper and way less likely for meat spoilage than shipping. It's even paying the checked bag fees, it's significantly cheaper than shipping meat back. So I highly recommend it. If you're using a processor, you know, understood, it's a little bit different. You'll have to come up with a different TTP there, but I do all my own processing for the most part and just don't want to fool with the shipping, trying to get the meat. I was talking to a guy recently that had a stack, I think it was Gator, actually. Yeah, I was talking to Matt at Triple M, and he had a guy that he shipped his meat from the processor, and he killed a big Gator. It's one of the 13-footers, and his shit sat on the tarmac.
Oh, my gosh.
In, like, the Texas or Florida heat for 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
When he got that cooler back, it was rancid. And it was supposed to be, like, FedExed overnight or UPS overnight. I don't know which carrier it is, so I don't want to call him out, but, yeah. But yeah, having a plan and prepping ahead of time. The other thing we've done in the past is the shitty igloo, like hard coolers or like the Coleman ones. They're lightweight, and buy one from Walmart. Now, they don't latch usually, so duct tape those things closed. I've had the TS or the airline folks like want me to open them. You don't have to open them. I just tell them that there's no liquid or whatever. I argued with one lady about it, and the other lady, I just opened it for her. But most of the time, they don't even open it. They just ask you if there's perishables. They'll slap a perishable sticker on top of it, and then you just fly with it. So, and I even know people that have bought the coolers and then returned them. I've never done it. I end up just keeping them because I don't want to clean the tape residue off of them, and they cost like $20. But you could definitely return them if you're into that sort of thing. Clean them out, take them back. Walmart will take back anything.
I've done it. Fuck Walmart.
Yeah, so that's kind of a down and dirty on flying with meat. It's really easier than people think it is. And a lot of the things, Carter, I know you guys already talked about flying with guns. That's also way easier than people think it is. And a lot of people that I talk to, it's like they don't want to travel for a hunt. Or if they do travel for a hunt, they drive across country. And there's an opportunity cost there. Like, yeah, you have your vehicle and it's nice, but you're going to miss 1 to 2 days of hunting on either end of the trip. And so if you can be on the ground longer, scout more, hunt more, and fly in, fly out, it's actually pretty reasonable and pretty easy, even with paying for a couple extra check bags. And then there's, like, credit cards that you can get for different airlines. So if you live in the same spot and you're flying typically the same airline, getting a credit card, even if you're paying $100 or $150 fee annually, if you know you're going to be traveling, it makes a lot of sense because then you get, you know, 2-3 check bags for free.
Yep. And if you're stressed about, like, the temperature, that thing's going in the belly of the plane if you're checking it. It's cold as shit down there. Nothing to stress about. If you can just tell the people at check-in it's frozen meat, or, like, when I've bought coolers, I'll write it with a Sharpie. I'll get the 120 count of the Zip freezer gallon bags and a Sharpie, two Sharpies usually, and keep that for my processing kit. And then I'll mark on the bags as we're boning them out what the cuts are. Just one less step to worry about when we get home. So
that's a good tip, because I always forget to do that. And then you look at a bag of frozen meat and then
you're like, oh my gosh.
You're like, I don't know what this is. Yeah. So yeah, that's definitely good to do. It makes, you know, refining, processing it further easier. Or if you're just gonna, you know, you're gonna eat it quick and leave it in the gallon bags, that's, it's already set up for you. So I've also flown with some vac sealer before, which it's a little bit extra. You don't have to have it, but it's nice to have. And I will bring it with me if I'm traveling, if I'm driving, because, like, a lot of times you're hanging out in camp anyways at the last day of the hunt. Like, you might as well go ahead and process it all when you're drinking beer, hanging out with the boys, because I never want to process when I get back home. It's a lot more fun when you're hanging out with the guys and doing it.
Yeah.
A couple extra sets of hands. But yeah, I highly recommend folks do it because it's not difficult. It's a great way to open up a lot more hunting, a lot more hunting opportunities. If you plan your trips out in advance, you can find really cheap airlines. My favorite airline to fly with is Southwest, because you get 2 free check bags just anyways. They also have cheap flights typically. You have to deal with the goat rope of not having assigned seating, but it's really pretty easy to fly with them, and they fly in and out of a lot of smaller airports. And then if you're military with Southwest, you get 7 free check bags. If you're military, it's silly. Like, I'm like,
that's unreasonable.
Yeah, that, dude, that's actually me getting out of the Army. It's the only thing that I'm like, fuck. But I flew, I've flown with, when I fly Southwest, I don't give a shit. Like, I just, yeah. I'll bring everything. That's when I fly Southwest, I'll bring up some more processing gear because I can get a whole extra check tough box. But, I was going somewhere with that, but yeah, knowing the regulations for, if you're military, knowing what the baggage discount is and having that, like, I'll screenshot it on my phone, because I've had agents at the, when you're checking your bags, not know them and be like, and want to charge you more. So, like, know what that airline does. And I've had to, like, show them what their policy is, which is super frustrating. But, and then know what the weights are too, because they try this last time I flew down to Florida, they tried to charge me for heavy bags, but Southwest, it's up to 70 pounds, not up to 50. And she was like, it's a heavy bag fee. I was like, it's absolutely not a heavy bag fee. We had to go back and forth for a minute. So kind of know what that is, because, like, it's like an extra 40 or 50 bucks if you're, you know, 3 pounds over. It's stupid.
Yeah.
But you can put it in your carry-on, which is going on the same flight.
Exactly. Science.
Yes. Stacking your carry-on is huge. To save weight for your checked bags. But it's, once you get a couple reps under your belt, flying and traveling for hunts is super easy. Flying with guns is super easy. The meat's pretty easy. Just takes a little bit of planning. Ideally, if you're, like, coming out, like, you're traveling from wherever you're hunting to the airport, a hotel with a fridge and a freezer, like Carter and Cole do that a lot, or an Airbnb, so you have they have the freezer, so you can hard freeze it. And that's the easiest way to do it. Or if you have a buddy or somebody local on the ground, you can get into a hard freezer. Or, like it was in our Wyoming hunt a couple years ago, it's so fucking cold, we just left the coolers open. And then, kind of glossed over this part, get the coolers as cold as possible before you put the frozen meat in it. So you want the interior of that cooler to be super cold. So if you want to use dry ice, or like at the place I go to Texas a lot to hunt, they've got a walk-in cooler. So I'll put the coolers physically inside the cooler with them open. And then so the entire cooler chills, and that will significantly help the duration of which that cooler will keep your meat cold. And then stacking them up, so you don't want a ton of space. The more air that's in there, the more that's good. The air is going to heat up before the meat will. So you want to fill them up as much as possible to kill any of that dead space. So it's better to like really fill those coolers. Now you got to watch that with weights and all that, but that's where like you can adjust the weight a little bit, go heavier on your carry-on, knowing that your carry-on is going to be in the heated cabin, have the one that's in the belly of the plane. Like Carter said, it's cold down there. You'll be fine. But I mean, I've flown from Alaska. We flew from Alaska to Dallas, then to Denver. It made no sense to me. I like flying over Colorado, and I'm like, we're... But I did that with 50 pounds of halibut, and that shit was still hard frozen when I got back.
Yeah, it's definitely not worth stressing about as long as you got a plan.
And that meat can thaw as long as it's not warm.
Yeah, it'll
and
be
even
fine.
Like it's fine. And then really, you'll know with meat if it's starting to spoil because the bacteria that grows produces gas, and so those bags will expand. So if those bags, even if you're like have freeze your or if you vac seal them. And it's completely thawed. If it's not puffed out, you don't have to throw that shit away.
Yep.
But yeah.
Too easy.
Super simple. Do it. If you're going to do it a lot, just go ahead and buy some nice soft coolers. If not, just get the really shitty cheap ones. The only thing that I don't like about the Ozark Trail ones, if they even still make them, is they'll leak. The Yetis won't. But, I mean, you're paying three times the price, and a contractor bag's cheaper than a Yeti cooler.
But they're also like $0 compared to the Zeti ones.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. That's all I got on flying with meat, I think.
Sweet. If you guys got any other tips or anything you want to add, let us know. Drop it in the comments. Appreciate you guys. Yeah.
If you have any questions that you would like us to tackle, if we don't know the answers, we'll try to find somebody who does, because we have a fuckload of team members who have more experience than we do. So we'll reach out and get somebody on that can answer your questions. Don't ask me shit about turkey hunting. I'll bring on Kaysen or Evan for that.
Yep. Absolutely. Sweet. Well, listeners, appreciate the hell out of you guys. We'll talk to you next week.